Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus interacts with the rich young ruler. Well, what does it mean to be rich? I mean, if we want to play a comparison game, none of you are rich because none of you are named Jeff Bezos. Right? I don't think any of you are billionaires, right? No, none of us. But if we compare ourselves to someone who is, say, homeless, maybe we are rich. Maybe we do have a lot. Well, the rich young ruler is rich because Scripture calls him rich. In fact, at the end of our lesson for today, we hear that he has great possessions. This is very much unlike anybody else who ever comes to Jesus on their knees. Most of the people who come before Jesus on their knees are not coming because they are rich. They're coming because they are poor. What else can we say about this guy? Well, he is young. Now, you guys might know this. As you get older, your body seems to fall apart a lot more. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You know, a little harder to roll out of bed, you know, a little bit longer for your body to recover after, you know, an illness or some strenuous exercise or something like that. This man is not old. He is young. And by every depiction, he does not have any bodily ailments at all. That's much unlike how people normally come to Jesus. Crippled, maimed, sick, demon-possessed. These are normally the people who fall down on their knees at Jesus' feet. And certainly last is ruler. This means that this man has authority. He's not at the bottom of the totem pole, but rather he is at the top. There are people underneath him. He has some kind of honor in this life. Unlike those who normally come to Jesus, who are the dejected, who are the beggars, who are those of low estate. Now, this man seems to be exactly the opposite of who normally approaches Jesus on their knees. But yet here he is. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" I mean, by what he does, we can pretty much ascertain the fact that he is sincere. He actually wants to know how to obtain eternal life. If he wasn't sincere about it, he wouldn't be running. Right? That shows haste, that shows concern, that shows that he needs something to be done for him right now. He shows Jesus honor by kneeling before him. And he even uses the word good teacher, recognizing that Jesus has a very profound understanding of God's word. Are we the same? Are we the same as this man? Do we run with eagerness to the Scriptures? Do we run with eagerness to the church for an opportunity to interact with God and his word? Do we run with eagerness to the absolution and the forgiveness of sins? Do we bow before the Lord's body and blood as his real presence comes into our midst? Are we filled with this like utmost desire to be with the Lord? Or do we think that sometimes it's not as important? Do we think that sometimes it's okay to neglect the opportunity to be in God's presence? I'll leave that answer up to you. Well, Jesus responds to this rich young ruler with these words. "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Well, Jesus clearly knows that he is God. I mean, he tells us as much through the Scripture over and over again. "No one comes to the Father except through me. I and the Father are one." Right? Jesus knows he's God, and Jesus knows that he is good. And so why would he ask this man the question, but for the man's sake? Jesus already knows the answer, but he's trying to lead this rich young ruler to understand that he is God, that he does deserve the title good. He wants the man to understand the truth. Are we the same? Are we the same as this rich young ruler? Do we understand that Jesus is God? Do we listen to his word as if he is God? Or do we just treat him like he is a good teacher? Maybe someone who can teach us how to be good moral people or something. Do we treat God's word as if it is mere suggestion? Or the very word of God itself? I'll leave that up to you. But notice how the interaction continues, right? Jesus, this guy wants to know, right? What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus, he gives him a plain answer. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Easy. Well, not quite. And he said to him, Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. If you want to be saved, just do the law perfectly. Follow God's word perfectly. Keep the commandments perfectly. And this man says, check. I got that one, Lord. I did all of those things perfectly. And for you and I who have come here already confessing the confession and receiving our absolution this morning, what did we say? I, a poor, miserable sinner, we've sinned against God in thought, word, and deed by what we have done, by what we have left undone. It's not just the outward things that the Lord desires. It's the thoughts in our mind. It's the things that are in our heart. For this man to think he has done it perfectly? Oh, no. Oh, no. But yet so often we do the same. We think that we're good Christians, or at least good enough. Because honestly, we like to play that comparison game. Well, at least I'm better than this guy over here, and at least I'm better than the unbeliever over there. But are we? Or are we the same? Honestly, it seems a lot like this ruler is looking for affirmation. He wants a pat on the back from Jesus. You know, attaboy, you did it all. Good job. And honestly, we really can't blame this ruler who comes to him, because in Jesus' time, the Jews perceived wealth as a direct relation to how righteous you were. So if you lived an upright life, they thought that God would bless you with abundance in this life. And consequently, if you were diseased or disabled or something like that, well, they thought that it was in direct relation to some sin that you had committed or some sin that your parents had committed or your ancestors somewhere down the line. And so this rich young ruler, he would have been known as an upright and righteous person in society. And he would have thought of himself that way too. And so he comes looking for a pat on the back. But he doesn't get it. He's not looking for Jesus to be a savior, but a good teacher. He's not looking for salvation and forgiveness, but affirmation. This is why Jesus has to set things straight. Jesus, looking at him, and this is very important, loved him. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. And what did the Lord do in his great love for this man? He didn't say, your faith has made you well, go on your way and live your life as you had before. No, he exposes the man's Achilles heel. He speaks a word of law. You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Jesus gives him an invitation. Leave behind your sin. Leave behind your false gods. Follow me, and I will give you far more than you ever imagined. But disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He was rich. He was young. He was a ruler. And because of these things, he didn't understand his sin. He didn't understand his need for a Savior. So he walks away from the true God of the universe, and he goes back to his false gods. Are we the same? Would we rather walk back to our false gods than follow our Savior? No! That's the answer. No, you are not the same as this rich young ruler. Why? It's not because of the sin factor. Truthfully, if we analyze ourselves, sometimes we are less than eager to be in God's church. Sometimes we are less than eager to be about God's word. Yet God leads us to realize this. He helps us to understand our sin for what it is. That way we can bring it to repentance. That's what we did in the absolution. We showed ourselves to be completely opposite of this young man. We humbly approached the Lord and asked him for his forgiveness. And what did he say? Your sins are forgiven. We're not turning back to our false gods. We're giving our false gods to our Savior. And we're following him to the cross. Are we like this young ruler? Well, sometimes we do treat Jesus as if he is just some good teacher, and we kind of forget the great scope of what he has done for us through his death and resurrection. Sometimes we do kind of, we open the Word of God and we open it up and we read it, and sometimes we don't even comprehend it, and sometimes we go, well, I checked my box and did my devotion for today. But God leads us to realize our sin. And so we come here and we ask him for forgiveness. And what does he say? Your sins are forgiven. We don't come here looking for a pat on the back and an attaboy from the Lord. We come looking for restoration and renewal and the assurance that Christ truly has taken away our sin through his blood shed and his life given on the cross. Are we the same as the rich young ruler? No. Because he comes into Jesus' presence and he leaves sorrowful. Because he has great possessions. My friends, we don't get to leave here sorrowful. We leave here filled with the joy of Christ. We leave this place knowing that Jesus has taken our sin, endured our sorrow, in fact, himself. Because who is Jesus? Certainly he's God, but what did he have? All the riches of heaven. And yet he humbled himself to come here to be born of a virgin, to give his life and to die for you and me. What does he have? He had rule over all things, all authority in heaven and earth. And what does he do? But he lays aside his spot as God in heaven, and he comes here to live amongst you and me. Jesus was only 33 years old when he went to the cross. Was his life cut short? Of course not. He used his life, he used his youth to pay the price for sin, to endure God's wrath. Jesus gets sorrow on the cross. That way you can have joy in this life, but more importantly, in the life that is to come. Are you like the rich young ruler? Well, you certainly are beset with sin, as we all are. But you're so different because the Lord has placed faith into your heart. He has given you all of the treasures of heaven through Jesus Christ, through what Jesus has done through his death and resurrection. And today too, Jesus feeds you with himself. So I'll encourage you this morning as you approach the altar, as you receive Christ's body and blood, pay special attention to the words that are used to dismiss each table. Because the Lord encourages you to depart today in peace and joy, knowing that you have come to Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.